Hi, I'm Tony Rossi for The Christophers, and today I'll bring you the conclusion of my interview with singer-songwriter Sarah Hart, who'll share her family secret for building a strong relationship with her daughters. After that, Christopher Award-winning author Joan Bauer will talk about her young adult novel, Soar, which deals with themes like adoption, autism, and winning at all costs in sports. Stay with us. Christopher Close-Up starts right now. Hello and welcome to Christopher Close-Up. I'm Tony Rossi, and today we're featuring the conclusion of my interview with Grammy nominee Sarah Hart. Sarah joined me on our last episode to discuss her album Till the Song is Sung, which deals with themes like joy in the Christian life and the power of God's love. When time ran out, we kept talking about Sarah's most important job, that of being a mom. Specifically, Sarah revealed what she and her husband do to make sure the lines of communication with their daughters are always open. But before we get to that, however, I want to share a clip from Till the Song is Sung. Here is Sarah Hart singing Good.
It was a promise you had made us, redemption from our longest night. You led us out of our enslavement, still we were not satisfied. So we made idols of our pleasing. You did what any father would, keeping vigil till we made our way back home. For you are good. Turning is our way. Mercy is yours.
I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close-Up. I'm talking to Sarah Hart about her album, Till the Song is Sung. You can find it at sarahhartmusic.com as well as on iTunes and Amazon and all those places. I want to just deviate to your personal life just a little, because as much as you love being a singer-songwriter, I know from Facebook that you cherish being a mother to your daughters even more. How does seeing them grow up add to your own joy in your faith life?
I can't even tell you. You know, anybody who's out there who's a parent who's listening knows that, like, your children are just your greatest joy. They're your greatest gift. And every day I am astounded by the love of God because of my children. I really believe this, Tony. I don't say this lightly. I think our children are not our children. They're prophets. They're little prophets among us who I think walk in our midst to remind us constantly of the love of God and constantly of the care of God. And that's what my girls have been to me. They're just such witnesses to my life and such examples. And just beside that, you know, they're such cool people. I have teenagers, and they are the two best girls, and they're loving and kind and artsy and just a joy to be with. And I mean, they make my world go round, you know. What can I say? I feel so blessed to be their mom every single day. It's just a direct gift from God for no reason. I did nothing to deserve them, you know, but there they are.
Yeah. Well, you wrote a Facebook post recently saying that you and your husband do something with your kids called 10 minutes with mom and dad. And that is a boon. It's a boon to your family life. So I want to ask about that, because I think from what I've gathered, a lot of people around the country would benefit from doing this kind of thing with their kids. So talk about that.
Well, we have this thing we do before bed, and we call them downstairs. We're like, okay, it's time for 10 minutes with mom and dad. And then we have this little theme song that we sing. I won't sing it for you because it's a family thing.
But okay.
But we have this little theme song we sing, and then we sit down, and no devices, no electronics. Everybody sits down, and we each get to pick a different topic. And so we talk, and we call it 10 minutes with mom and dad, but honestly, it usually turns into 30 minutes or 40 minutes. And we just talk. And we carve out time to make sure that we are speaking to one another as a family, looking in each other's faces, laughing, sometimes crying, you know, but just connecting. And I think that the problem, I understand, like, we're a household where my husband is an IT person.
Mm-hmm.
So we have like 8 computers in our house and 4 people. Like, it's ridiculous, you know? And so we are a plugged in world. And I think that's most families to consciously and just like carve out on purpose time, be very intentional about carving out family time, is so crucial right now in this day and age. It's so different from when we were kids, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so carving out that time and that intentionality, it's a way that we show our children and our spouses and our family, I love you. I love you to the point that I will put down that stupid computer and spend time with you and focus on you. I
yeah.
want to focus on you. And I don't know, for us, it's been a huge boon in our family life.
Right, right. Do your daughters say, I mean, do they know if their friends and with their families do this kind of thing? Because like you said, yeah, detaching from the electronics can be tough nowadays.
It really can. All I'll tell you is that one night my daughter said this great thing. She was so sweet. She said, Mom, I wish it were as easy to talk to my friends at school as it is to talk to you and Dad.
Aww.
And that meant everything to me because I always want to be that as a parent. Please talk to us about everything. Don't hide from us. You know, keep those lines of communication open with your kids because your kids want you to be parents. They need you to be a parent. They need your guidance. They need direction. They need friends too.
Yeah.
But they've got friends.
Yeah.
And, you know, just because you're being a good parent doesn't mean you're not being their friend. But I think we're in a world where we focus too much on let's be our kids' friends. And I want to be my kids' friends, but I also want to be their parent when they need that. And that's really an open door for us to make sure our kids know we hear you. We are listening to you.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we
sure.
know, we want to know what's going on in your life. We are interested in you. And that is the way we tell our kids we love them.
Sarah, in our final minute, what are your hopes for people who listen to this album till the song is sung?
My hope is always just this, that people will find themselves in a little bit deeper communication with God and just enjoying the beauty that I'm trying to put forth in the world. But I always hope that, especially lyrically, people will maybe gain some little insight into the love God has for them. I think that's what all of us who are musicians and artists kind of hope for, is that who are doing Christian music anyway, that it will help them to connect to a God who loves them. And that's always my prayer.
I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close-Up. I have been talking with Sarah Hart about her album, Till the Song is Sung. You can find that at sarahhartmusic.com, on Amazon, iTunes. And I think you got a sense from listening to Sarah today that she is really conveying an important message through her faith, musically and through the lyrics. As she said earlier, joy is not circumstantial. It's something we should live with all the time as Christians, even though it's a struggle. There's nothing wrong with asking questions and struggling with doubts. It shows God that you're invested in this relationship with him. And that's a lot of the things I get from this album, Till the Song is Sung. And I think everybody who's listening to it, you should pick it up and you're going to get your own important themes out of it. So again, Till the Song is Sung by Sarah Hart. Her website is sarahhartmusic.com. And Sarah, thanks again so much for sharing your music and your insights with us today.
Thank you so much, Tony. I hope one of these days I'm actually going to get to come up to New York and see you. It would be so fun.
It would be great to see you in person, Sarah. I'm Tony Rossi, and you're listening to Christopher Close-Up. I'll be back in a minute to chat with Christopher Award-winning author Joan Bauer. But first, here's a message the Christophers would like to share with you.
In a world with millions of distractions, it's all too easy to lose sight of God in the midst of housework or homework or a hard day at the office. Yet God continues to speak to you, even in your busiest or most distracted moments. That's why the Christophers have prepared a news note called Listening When God Speaks. It shares stories about people who have learned to recognize God's voice in their lives and offers advice on how you can do the same. To request your free copy of Listening When God Speaks, send an email to radio@christophers.org or call our toll-free number at 1-888-298-4050. We look forward to hearing from you.
Welcome back to Christopher Close-Up. I'm Tony Rossi, and my next guest is Joan Bauer. Joan has won numerous awards for her humor-filled and hope-filled young adult novels, including two Christopher Awards. Her latest book is called Soar, and it's a story about a boy who loves baseball but can't actually play the game due to a heart condition. Along the way, the book addresses timely issues like a winning-at-all-costs attitude in sports, the love between fathers and sons, and even the beautiful choice of adoption. To tell us more, I am pleased to welcome to Christopher Close-Up, Joan Bauer. Joan, thanks so much for being back on the show today.
Oh, Tony, it's always a pleasure to be with you. Thank you.
Now, tell us a little bit about the plot of this newest novel of yours, Soar, and whether there was a particular inspiration for this story.
Yeah, well, Soar is about an adopted boy named Jeremiah who has a heart defect, but he loves baseball. But because of his heart, he can't play the game that he loves. But he ends up coaching. He just wants to coach. He learns so much about the game, and he wants to share what he knows with other people. And he actually gets an opportunity to be part of a middle school team, but it happens in the wake of a town's steroid scandal.
Okay. Well, let me touch on the heart condition issue, because he's got cardiomyopathy, which it's a condition people have to deal with in the real world, and it's life-threatening. What did you discover in your research about this disease and the reality of heart transplants? And what, was there a personal story or something that went into adding that to the character?
Yeah, great question. I have known several people who have had some real challenges with their hearts, and I've always found them to be particularly insightful and inspiring, because when there's something wrong with your heart, you tend to focus on it a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And these people that I know focused on the best parts of it. And I'm always intrigued with how you can be. I think one of the themes actually in my books is you don't necessarily have to be physically strong to be a remarkable strong person. So this was sort of another way to come at that.
Yeah.
And I did a great deal of research. I spent time with cardiologists. I wish I could bottle what this kid had inside. She's the most amazing heart transplant survivor. And she spoke to me for a couple of hours. I mean, this kid was filled with faith, and she really felt that if she got a second chance to live.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when you face death as a young person, and by the time, you know, you're on the list to get a heart transplant, it is not good. You are as sick as you can get.
Yeah.
And so to hear what that was like, to come back from just not even knowing she was going to be able to make it to living this extraordinary life. Boy, I'll tell you, I want to know people like that.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So that's a little bit of the background of how SOAR came to be. And of course, my mother was a high school English teacher, so I'm all about metaphor too. So talking about the heart of something, you know, means a great, great deal to me. So I, as I always do, I kind of mushed it all together in a blender, and the book came out.
I'm talking to Joan Bauer. She's a 2-time Christopher Award-winning novelist of young adult books. Her latest novel is called SOAR. Now, as much as Jeremiah loves baseball in the book, like you said, he can't actually play. And while it bothers him at times that he can't do something he loves, he focuses on the possibility of what he can do instead of what he can't, like that you were just saying that. Why is that attitude so important, not only in Jeremiah's story, but also in the lives of the young people who read this book?
I just feel that we're in an age of perfectionism in some ways, that everybody has to be able to do everything well, and everybody can't do everything well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're also in this age of me-ism, where I'm
yeah.
first, I'm this, I'm that. And this is a boy who has stepped back and said, I'm not going to be able to get out there on the field, but boy, I want to take what I love, and I really want to share it around. He is so selfless in that regard, and I think we need to see more of that.
Yeah. I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close Up, and I'm talking to Christopher Award-winning author Joan Bauer about her latest book called SOAR. You know, you mentioned these athletes and steroid scandals, and there's a question on the cover of the book, is winning all that matters? When public figures model bad behavior, what do you think parents can tell their kids to kind of mitigate the influence of that?
I think parents have to remember, we have to take our power back and to remember how effective a strong role model can truly be, and that role model needs to be us.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that we can use these moments, as hard as they are, even when a beloved hero falls, as a teachable moment, and talk about what sportsmanship really looks like, and not just have a, okay, you got it, you're not going to cheat, and then let them run out the door. I think this is something that we have to integrate into the soil of our lives right now, in families and, as you know, on sports teams, to really talk and to say we are not going to do this. This is not what being in sports means.
Yeah.
I think that people have become addicted to winning.
Mm-hmm.
And just like a drug, You know, what if you get enough of it, you just can't, you can't imagine life without it. And when that begins to happen, and even little league coaches are acting, you know, getting out of control, and parents screaming at umpires from the stands. We really have gotten into a place that the only way, in my opinion, we can step back from is to say, wait a minute. This is not who we are. This is what good behavior looks like. Sports is not war.
Yes.
And you know, this is how we need to go out and to teach our kids the way our parents taught us. I think it is critical.
Yeah, no, when I was reading that section of the book, I was thinking of a few years ago, I interviewed Shawn Johnson, the gymnastics medalist from the Olympics, and she said that when she won the silver medal, she was thrilled that she had accomplished this great feat. And when she went to the press conference afterwards, the reporters asked her, what did it feel like to lose, to be a loser? And she was like, I just won the silver medal in the Olympics. And it's just this overemphasis on winning. Everybody wants to win, but, you know, sometimes second place is just as good, especially when you've put all your effort into it. And really, it's the effort you put into it that's key, right?
Oh, I think that is absolutely key. And in terms of resilience, the way we can really build kids with self-esteem and resilience is not to insist that everybody be the best. I mean, just do the math on that, right? That's not possible.
Mm-hmm.
But if you work hard to do your best, boy, that is an amazing thing too. That's a wonderful turning of the tables, and you can feel good. Your team can lose,
mm-hmm.
but if you did your best and you had goals out on the field and you know you did a good job, you can still feel really good about how you contributed. And we have to begin to do that and not let the scoreboard rule and not let winning be on the throne of our lives.
Yeah,
we
got to
knock that thing down.
I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close Up. We're talking about the win at all costs culture in sports, and Joan deals with that in her latest young adult novel called Soar. I want to touch on another aspect of the book, because I think in a way I could even call this book pro-adoption, because it shows the difference that love from an adoptive father, in this case, can make in a child's life. Was that inspired by any personal stories you've heard of adoption through the years?
Yes, I have known several people who have just opened up their hearts and had the most remarkable experiences adopting children, and they have just inspired me for so many, many, many years. And I wanted to have it be an amazing experience, because Walt, the father, doesn't really understand that his son is, he doesn't know that he's going to end up having a heart condition. And yet Walt is so remarkable. He's an engineer.
Mm-hmm.
So he's always looking for how things work. And he's trying to figure out how his boy works and what is unique inside of him. And how do you celebrate that no matter what? Because he sees that muscle in Jeremiah of hope and determination and inspiration and wanting to help other people. And he keeps working that. And the adoption part is very precious to me. I've heard from a lot of people who say that particular thread in the story has made a real difference for them.
Yeah, well, when I was reading it, again, it reminded me of one of our Christopher Award-winning books titled The Gift of Caring, because it shows that you know, for Walt, taking care of Jeremiah is a gift. Some people might see it as a burden, and it certainly has its challenges, but it really is a gift for him. How do you see that sense of caring as being a gift in this book and in life in general?
I think that that's a beautiful question. I think that caring is about sacrifice. And yet you hear the word sacrifice and you think, oh, it hurts, it hurts, it hurts. And yet caring, I believe caring for a person is trying to see who God made them,
mm-hmm.
what they have inside. And then caring enough about people to want to move alongside and say, you know, I want to help whatever is inside you to come out, to really kind of cope in that way, and to see the beauty that can come through so many different kinds of experiences. I know that as a parent, I never wanted my daughter to hurt. Mm. I never wanted her to go through difficult times. And yet we know that it's through those challenges that great strength really, really rises. And that's the power, one of the powers I think of SOAR. The other image is of the eagle.
Mm-hmm.
And that is different than any other bird. And an eagle does not get all squawky like the other birds. It just knows what it is. An eagle knows how it's been made.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that gets back to Walt. That gets back to caring. I think if we care enough about people, we really want to know how they've been made.
Yeah.
We want to know those unique things and speak that courage into them and just say, boy, I'll tell you, I really admire what you just did. I admire it, and I want to encourage you in your life. That, to me, is what caring is.
Yeah, I'm talking to Joan Bauer about her young adult novel, SOAR. And along those same lines, I think another character who kind of comes into his own and can soar within the elements of his problem is the character Benny, who seems to be on the autism mm-hmm. spectrum. What went into fleshing out that character and his situation?
Oh, Benny, I love Benny so much. I'm so glad we're talking about Benny. I have a friend who has a severely autistic, now a young woman, and to watch her find, again, caring, to watch her find the gifts in her child and just to fight for those has been an amazing experience. And I spoke with her about this book. I spoke with a lot of teachers, just, you know, a lot of therapists about what would a young person who has certain differences in the way they look at the world,
mm-hmm.
how could they engage with this story? And I found in some ways that Benny brought out this beauty in baseball because it so absolutely delighted him.
Mm-hmm.
And he was terrible. He couldn't even catch a ball.
Yeah.
And yet to be able to be out there and to focus on it and to cheer for a team after something horrible had just happened. Benny just was this amazing voice to him, to the team, and I think throughout the story that talked about the beauty of just being positive and being loving, and that's why I'm so glad that I was able to find his place in the story. At first, I really struggled with it,
mm-hmm.
but oh, and then when I got to know him, and I realized, ah. This is what this kid brings. He won't give up on this team. He won't give up on baseball. Baseball is important to Benny. And just as it was important to Jeremiah, and that is their link.
I'm talking to Joan Bauer about her novel, SOAR. I also want to touch on the faith dimension, because all your books have a faith dimension. And I know the
yes.
opening line of the prayer of St. Francis, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace, makes a cameo in the book, and you've heard it every year at the Christopher Award. So just talk to me about what role does faith play in SOAR? It's certainly not heavy-handed, but it's there.
It isn't, and it isn't heavy-handed, but it is there, and faith to me is why I get up in the morning. Faith, my faith, is why I write. My faith is, you know, gives me hope to try again and to keep on going. So every part of that in me as a writer is brought to bear. And I just, the whole point of hope and the whole point of falling down and getting back up, I think in some ways, you know, that's God has made us all hardwired to fall down and get back up
mm-hmm.
for grit. And I love to show that. And I want to show different people of faith. I believe in this book there's a great Catholic nun there. They play St. Peter's Academy. There is a Lutheran minister. There's a rabbi who there are all kinds of folks interacting. And I love that when it happens. But to me, probably the core of faith is about love.
Right.
And to show that. And how do we show love? It's certainly through sacrifice. It's certainly through caring. But it's about moving alongside people who are different than we are.
Mm-hmm.
And just giving ourselves again and again and again. And so I suppose faith is in that regard, painted across the canvas of SOAR.
Yeah.
And also with the eagle image in Isaiah, I held this close. I didn't put it in the book, but it was, those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength.
Mm.
They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint.
Yeah.
So that was something that was written across my heart as I wrote that story.
Right. In our final minute, tell me, Joan, just how, what do you want readers to walk away with from this book? And if you could maybe just tie it into that whole Christopher idea of lighting a candle rather than cursing the darkness, because I see that theme running throughout Soar.
I hope that people will use this novel. I hope they will use it to grapple with these issues of cheating and this overemphasis on winning. I hope that they will use it to have conversations with the young people in their lives, because I call books weapons of mass destruction.
Love it.
And so, you know, so I really think that that's what it's about. And just with regard to lighting a candle, sometimes we forget how powerful that is. We lost power here a few months ago.
Okay.
And it was cold, and I got sick, and I was crabby, and I had one candle. I could find one candle, and I lit it in my living room, and I have to tell you something. Boy, did that make a difference. Boy, did that make a difference.
It's the simple things.
It is a simple thing, and I thought about the Christophers, and so I did want this to be a candle lit in the midst of so much misunderstanding, so much jockeying around of just, you know, not being honorable, and to say, wait a minute, here's this young boy who steps out into a town in the midst of a scandal and says, we can be better than this.
Yeah.
And I also hope when adults read it, it has got a little bit of a message saying, hey, folks, the kids are watching. The kids are watching. Let's show them the better way that we all really know inside.
Yeah. I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close-Up. I've been talking with Joan Bauer about her novel, Soar. It is a really wonderful book about, as we've been talking about the winning at all costs culture, why we have to teach kids that there are more important things than winning, how to live with character and with value and with hope and with faith. All those things are woven throughout this novel. It's a wonderful story. If you have tweens or teens, you should definitely pick up the book, and maybe you'll even pick it up yourself and read it, because I think we can all learn a lot from Soar. And Joan, thanks for writing the book, and thanks for talking about it today.
Loved it, Tony. Thank you so much for having me on.
You're welcome. In closing, I want to thank all our listeners for tuning in today, and I encourage you to visit our website at christophers.org to learn more about the Christophers and to download free literature and podcasts. When you're there, you can also find links to our blog and our Facebook and Twitter pages. And if you have any questions or comments about the show, you can send an email to radio@christophers.org. Our engineer for today's show is Brian Bonifacio, and I'm Tony Rossi, your host. Thanks again for joining us, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.